Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I am Todd Albaugh. It is the 22nd of February, 2023. It is a Wednesday hump day, and that means it is crossover day here on Civic Media as well. Spend a little time over on the Pat Kreitlow Show before the top of the hour. And here, joining us in our neighborhood with his snow pants on and his snow boots tied, is our very own Pat Kreitlow of Up North News, which can be heard every day, 6 until 8 a.m. across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Mr. Kreitlow, how the heck are you?
I'm the heck fine, and I'm wondering, with the snow pants and the boots and everything, I'm now of a certain age. I think I can get away with this, that the neighbors would expect it, that we're supposed to get 12 to 20 inches up here on Lake Wasota.
Yeah.
If I'm now old enough that I'm one of those guys who goes out like every hour because after an inch falls and gets the driveway down to black, down to asphalt, right, and then goes out the next hour and gets the next, rather than waiting for the whole 20 inches to fall because we've got to keep that driveway cleared off. I might be close enough to an old man that I am considering that.
It's like a free gym workout. I mean, as long as you're in good health and everything, you can go out and do that, and it's a great workout. Just I tell everybody, don't overdo, you know.
Right. Yeah. No. And I wouldn't, simply because we bought a new snowblower last year, and so why would I waste, you know, a good Cub Cadet piece of machinery,
right,
especially when you've got a new snowblower, yeah, so a nice clean blade at the bottom, mm-hmm, and then we had the driveway redone last year, so it's, ooh, a brand new smooth clean asphalt. Using that snowblower is like a knife through butter.
That's beautiful.
It's almost a joy. I'm almost giving my Tim Allen, you know, more power. love moving snow with that thing.
That's background getting very excited about snow. I love it. That's fantastic.
I would get more excited, except the only problem with it, with having a snow thrower, is that the wind and the way that you line up your chute, you know, if you point it down too low, you're just throwing snow into the next lane that you're going to be doing. If you throw it too high and the wind's out of the west, it ends up on my neighbor's driveway. And I don't want to cause a neighborhood dispute or anything. So it's like a video game. You got to aim that chute just right with the wind and put it in the yard and not the neighbor's driveway. This is the high tech stuff that you go through as a middle-aged man on Lake Wasota.
The moral of the story is, if you want to have good neighbors, line up your chute.
That's right.
That's the main thing there.
Mind the shoot.
Exactly. What a crap shoot last night in this judges race. We have four people running, and Janet Proton Sandwich comes out on top, and not just by a small amount. She cruised into victory, winning the vast majority of states, particularly in western Wisconsin and in central Wisconsin. What do you make of it, Pat? We talked a little bit on your show, but what do you make of the results? It is going to be Proton Sandwich versus former Supreme Court Justice, the ultra-conservative Dan Kelly.
What I think is, off the top, that nearly 1 million people went to the polls yesterday in Wisconsin. And so, mm-hmm, people took this seriously. They did not want to see a scenario where there was only a choice of two conservatives come April. That's the good news. But it does lead to that concern that folks will get complacent now and think, well, look how good Proton Sandwich did in February. She's going to do that well again in April. I don't need to go vote. Yeah, you need to go vote for the candidate of your choice, because of, you know, a state Supreme Court race is that important. So you're going to see all the money. You're going to see all the ads. But one thing I forgot to say in my show that I'd like to drop right here,
yeah,
is Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell. What a hell of a life story. And what, you know, just a good guy who's doing great things. And while he came up short in this campaign, I hope we hear more from him, because he's got a story and a leadership style that, frankly, you know, more people should be exposed to in Wisconsin. I'm glad I had the pleasure to interview him the one time. Thank him for running, and, you know, hope that this isn't the end of what he does in the public sphere.
Whoever is out there, put the name on the ballot. As Roosevelt used to say, the man in the arena, or the person in the arena, those folks deserve the credit. So, yeah, absolutely. Anybody who could put themselves out there and run deserves a lot of credit. As you look forward to that April election, Pat, we're going to have these two referendums, one of which basically is a goofy one, that's my word for it, in that people already have to work or apply for work if they're receiving benefits in the state. And now you're going to have this referendum on, should people have to work in order to receive welfare? How do you think that's going to affect the turnout for Republicans in the spring general election?
It will do what it was designed to do when legislators put this sham referendum up. And it is a sham because, like you noted, this is already in state law. It's like putting up a referendum that says, should it be illegal to rob a bank? Well, yes. You know, I mean, it really is an abuse of the process, but it will do what it was designed to do, because now what can happen is, while Janet Protasiewicz will want to talk about voter suppression and women's health rights, now there's the opportunity to do these scary commercials about these, you know, welfare cheats are robbing you blind. Has nothing to do with the state Supreme Court and the important issues that are at play here. But that's what they did. They've manufactured their issue. And so now you'll see very well-funded commercials about it.
So we got about a minute left here. How does the quite low household bunker down? What are your survival tips? And I'm saying this slightly in jest, but also slightly seriously, because it is a serious storm. I don't want to make fun of it. You don't want people out on the roads. But what do you folks do up there? Seasoned northern Wisconsiners, what do you do?
Oh, I a lot of people here, you know, ice fish, snowmobile, everything else. My wife and I, we are winter athletes in the sense that we go outside in our swimsuits for about 15 feet to get to our hot tub, and then we get in there. That's how we spend a winter's day.
Wait a minute. Kreitlow has a hot tub? Why are we not doing this show there 5 days a week? I want to see you in the hot tub doing your show.
It could happen. It could happen.
Thank you, Pat. We'll see you next week. Pat Kreitlow back with Trigvy after this. The Todd Allball Show. It is 15 now past the hour of 8 o'clock. Glad to have you along with us. If you weren't with us last segment, there is Crossover Wednesday on the show. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News comes on, and we were just talking. It came out the discussion there that Kreitlow has a hot tub. And so he and his wife take a little 15-step walk over to the hot tub. Our next guest, we will not be in a hot tub with Trigvy Olson from the Lincoln Project, is with us this morning. Now, Trigvy was supposed to be here live and in person. We have a large breakfast buffet set up. We have a chef here making omelets. We are all set to go. But no.
I got a muffin.
But yes, Zomers has a muffin. But Trigvy decided, no. Snowmageddon was coming, and he got the heck out of Dodge.
That's right.
How are you, Trigvy?
I did. I bailed out. I am just arriving at O'Hare as we speak.
Are you driving?
This morning we got on the road.
Oh, my gosh.
I love Madison, Wisconsin, not enough to be stuck there in the storm for 4 days.
But with all the beer, the cheese, Trigvy, and Kreitlow has a hot tub, it turns out.
Well, seriously, if I'd have known that, I would have said that we should start going the other way on 94.
Right.
Up to Chippewa Falls. And, you know, the River Falls guy in me, it doesn't surprise me that those fancy people in Chippewa Falls live a hot tub lifestyle.
Right.
Like, I always knew those kids who went to Chi High probably were hanging out in the hot tub.
No. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, indeed. It's winter in Wisconsin, so you got to make the best of it. So are you in a storm out there, Trigvy?
I will say this. I know a lot of our listeners are further north, but we just took the road down to O'Hare. I just arrived, and it is getting really dicey out.
Well, it sounds like it.
The road's not good.
So. Well, are you okay driving and talking here at the same time?
No. I wasn't driving.
Oh, okay.
I'm now at O'Hare. So.
Oh, very good. Well, welcome to O'Hare.
You know what my lot in life will be, and I'm knocking on wood, Todd.
Yeah.
Instead of getting stuck in Madison, I hope I don't get stuck at O'Hare for the next 3 days.
Now, see, that would be a nightmare to me. I've been stuck in O'Hare before.
Not bad. Fun.
Yeah. So we welcome you back. Of course, those who don't know, Trigvy Olson is a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project across America, helping to save democracy. Trigvy, we had a little race last night here in Wisconsin, or yesterday, called the Supreme Court primary, and Judge Janet Protasiewicz, the progressive candidate, not only won, but won pretty handily, and she's going to be facing ultra-conservative and former Supreme Court Justice in Wisconsin, Daniel Kelly, the Trump-backed candidate. What are your kind of knee-jerk reactions to the results last night?
So, you know, the first thing is I thought turnout was fascinating.
because there was all this talk that turnout was going to be very high.
Right.
And it ended up being really high for a primary on an April election.
Yeah.
Like that jumped out. I think, you know, how strong she ran across, sort of, if you go up 94, all those counties to the west, you know, that says something. And quite frankly, it's in the heart of where, you know, people are that we're talking to today.
Right.
I thought that's pretty interesting. I think, you know, you and Kreitler were talking about the referendum that they're putting up, which I was listening to that, and I knew they were doing it. What I hadn't thought before is, you know, this is a classic autocrat move to put up some bogus referendum on the ballot. So, you know, the idea that Republicans are desperate enough to try and relitigate work and welfare when, you know, last time I checked, Tommy Thompson solved that like 20 years ago.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's pretty lame. But I think, you know, you're going to see a lot of national money flowing into that race. The stakes are huge. You know, I think Kelly, you know, the Republicans really didn't, the establishment of the Republican Party, I don't think they got, neither candidate was great for them, but they certainly didn't get the candidate they want.
Right. I look at this as kind of a similarity between last year's gubernatorial primary with Michaels and Clayfish, because, you know, I think a lot of people thought that Clayfish was just came across as a kinder person than Michaels. You might say the same thing here about Kelly and Darrow, and I'm not sure whether it has to do with anything with a male-female. It just has to do with their personalities. But Dan Kelly was never, of course, actually elected. He was appointed by former Governor Scott Walker and then lost his only race statewide in a presidential year. That he claims that's why he lost, because it was a presidential year when he was up. But you would have thought that the top of the ticket would have helped him out. You look last night, the couple of places that really stood out to me, Janet Protasiewicz won Outagamie County by 42% to Kelly's 35. She won Brown County 41-37. Fox Valley has not been a kind place for liberal candidates or progressive candidates. And yet, I mean, sure, if you add up the other, you know, Darrow's numbers as well, the conservatives still had more votes. But the fact that Protasiewicz was able to get wins there, I would think that would bode well in a general election.
If I can also hop in here for a second, I said this on Pat's show, and I'll say it again now, that Dan Kelly saying that he didn't win because it was the year of a presidential election sounds a lot like he's saying, I wish fewer people voted because then I could win.
True.
That is kind of the gist of it. He might be onto something. The more people who vote, the worse it is for him. Right. Which, honestly, that should be a pretty good lesson for Wisconsin Democrats.
Right.
They need to get out and vote, and moderates who you know, don't understand, and Republicans who understand that you can't vote for somebody who has a record of denying elections, particularly not for a seat like the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. But honestly, you know, it matters in every election. It matters even more in ones like that have a direct effect on elections and role in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Fox Valley, could get back to Green Bay, Appleton, that area. The fact that she could pull out those counties, even in a primary like that, to me is impressive. That at least it seems like her base, the Dem base, was more motivated in this election, Trivi, than the Republicans.
Yeah, I think no doubt about that. I think the other thing is, you know, having been more engaged than in tactically and certainly strategically with the Lincoln Project. In Wisconsin races. One of the things that's interesting is, you know, there is the races in the state now really come down to this sort of path of counties. If you go from basically Grant County up through the 3rd District to St. Croix and then across on 29, the counties that touch 29, you know, over to Green Bay. And that's where she ran strong. She did better than she needed to in those places, and that's what powered her doing better than expected. So I think, you know, we'll see if that holds, because, you know, April elections are all about turnout, but there are some good signs, I think, in the bigger scheme of things for Democrats, and quite frankly, maybe it's less about Democrats and more for Democrats, small d, people who care about democracy, that band of kind of common sense people in Wisconsin are saying enough of the crazy. And Kelly fits that bill. I mean, he was the crazier of the two candidates.
I mean, he's an election denier. His best buddy is a former Justice Gableman, who, of course, is not only just an election denier, but has so far spent over $2 million of Wisconsin taxpayer money, thanks to Robin Voss, on this wild snipe chain. Did you ever play snipe when you were growing up? Anybody ever do that to you?
I did.
Maybe it's a Richland Center thing. They make up a bird called snipe, and they say, oh, go chase the snipe in the cornfield. Well, Todd fell for that about 10 times. But, I mean, that's basically what this is. It's just a snipe hunt on this 2020 election stuff. And, of course, Gableman did this weird investigation, which, of course, turned up nothing. And Kelly was all for it. So I think you're absolutely right, and I hope that's pointed out in ads and other things. But the other big and you've said this on this program several times, Trivi, whether people want to admit it or not or recognize it, Donald Trump is still the standard bearer for the Republican Party, and his candidate, Dan Kelly, won last night.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the idea that, and to some degree, you know, in Madison yesterday, we were having a bunch of conversations. I mean, the one thing that jumped out as I've been traveling around the country in Wisconsin is like the second stop. We're going to Arizona and Nevada next week for similar meetings. But, you know, the thing that jumps out is, you know, Trump is still in charge of that vertical. You saw it in the Michigan state party chairs race. And in truth, Trump is kind of a symptom of the bigger sort of crazy that's going on in the Republican Party. In fact, in the Michigan race for party chair, they didn't even take Trump's candidate. They took the further right candidate. And so, you know, it shouldn't surprise anybody that Trump's candidate is winning in these kinds of races. The good news, and we'll see in the Supreme Court race, is there seems to be a rejecting in these Great Lakes states of, you know, Wisconsin and Michigan of that kind of politics. And it's these voters who, you know, it's common sense. It's the common sense middle. A lot of whom are Republican by policy, who are just saying enough of this. I didn't sign up for this, and so they're voting for democracy. And Democrats shouldn't confuse that either, right?
Right.
They shouldn't confuse it.
I was just going to say a couple minutes, about a minute and a half before the first break here, Trigby. But being in Wisconsin, talking to a lot of folks on both sides of the aisle the last couple of days, what's your takeaway? What are one or two things here in a minute or so that you think Democrats might not quite have right or can improve upon as we move into the spring election and beyond?
So, you know, one interesting thing that I heard, and I did not know this fact, and correct me if I confused it, but I was told Democrats do not have a single member of the state legislature north of Highway 8.
That could be. I don't know for sure.
And those are my people, right?
Right.
Like we used to always say we had buddies, we had cabins up there, and what happened north of Highway 8 stayed north of Highway 8. But that makes sense to me. You know, the Democratic Party in Wisconsin, if it is seen as the Dane County sort of wing, you know, the wing where Bernie Sanders is coming in to campaign, they're not going to elect people north of Highway 8. If they're seen as sort of more of a Tony Evers kind of Democrat, they have a shot at winning some of those seats eventually up north of Highway 8. And I'm not saying the Supreme Court race and the maps don't impact that, but it's also a messaging thing. Up in the places where Trilo, you know, is, and north of that.
Right.
And they have to understand that if you bring in Bernie Sanders to charge up your base in Dane County, you're going to pay a price in outstate for that. Because, you know, elections are decided by that swath in the middle, and they'll vote for traditional Democrats, but they won't vote as much for progressive socialist Democrats. And even against MAGA candidates.
Right.
You know.
That's the interesting part to me, yeah. Right? We'll see. I mean, you don't have guys like Roger Bresky and Bob Jelk representing the Northwoods anymore. And those guys were not, right? I mean, those guys related to people. Got to take a break, come back, talk a little bit more about this and also what's happening. Joe Biden goes to Ukraine. Get Trigvy's thoughts on that. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show. And this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show is now 8:33. Every time I hear that song, all I can see is Hillary Clinton and Tipper Gore putting their hands on each other's shoulders at the Democratic convention and going back and forth. Right, we'll talk to Trigvy, see if he remembers that as well, in just a minute. But first of all, we're going to go to meteorologist Kara Foster at Weatherology, because we have a major, maybe an understatement here, winter storm going to impact the state of Wisconsin for the next 48 hours or so. Good morning, Kara. You are a busy person, I'm sure, this morning.
Yes, it's been a lot of repeating, which is fine. I mean, right. This storm has stayed so consistent, which is, you know, a meteorologist's dream, you know, that a system, like, especially to this capacity, does stay pretty consistent. So we're able to, you know, get the right information out, and we don't have to change that as rapidly as we usually do see with kind of crazy winter storms, especially this winter, since we've been staying so warm. These systems have been, you know, rapidly changing as they go on. But this one has, of course, stayed pretty constant, which, I mean, is a, you know, can be a bad thing. But like I was saying, we can give out more solid information to you all and hopefully be able to have you guys, you know, plan your next couple of days better. I will tell you that, you know, the National Weather Service did kind of slightly shorten the amounts that we are expecting. So we're only, you know, expecting 2 inches less of what we were expecting from yesterday. But that's still upwards, you know, of 21 inches. So
still a good amount of snow.
These heavy, right, exactly. So even if you hear that, you know, don't expect, you know, oh, okay, well, that was it. You know, we're not expecting that much. We're still expecting a second wind of this system coming in tonight, and this will be the heaviest portion. So we got round one last night. It did, you know, bring us, you know, basically what we were expecting. We were expecting about 3 to 7 inches. We did get somewhere in between 3 to 5. So that was pretty much kind of the general consensus. It did stay pretty consistent. We still see these winter storm warnings basically out for the entirety of the state until about noon tomorrow. So basically, you know, like I said, the second round is yet to come. Today, you know, temperature is not doing half bad. We're reaching a high of 23 in Amory. We're about 30 in Richland Center. So they could see a little bit of that mixed precip just because they're right under that freezing mark, but still going to see mostly snow. So we shouldn't have to worry about that as of right now too much. And then as we head into Wausau, we're still reaching a high of 23. So like I said, temperatures are not terrible, but the winds will actually come in today. So that's kind of the biggest factor that's going to change from yesterday into today. So we're still expecting maybe a couple up to 3 inches throughout the state throughout here today. Northeast winds about 15 to 20, gusting as high as 30. Some areas may see up to 40. That's going to be generally throughout the southern portion of the state. They could see up to 4 inches. As we head into tonight, snow showers will increase quite a bit. We are dipping down to about 15 in Amory. We're dropping down to about 25, so very mild in Richland Center. And then as we head into Wausau, we're about 16. So the thing about Richland Center specifically, since it is a little bit further south, it's just right above this very warm patch of the system. So right along the southern portion of the border, they will see kind of that rain, freezing rain, sleet, snow mixture. So unfortunately, they might see a little bit of patchiness with their snowfall, might be a little bit icier than many areas across the state, but it is very localized to that that southern portion of the state. So if you do live down that in that area, do expect a little bit more of the ice portion of that, but it's still going to be mainly snow throughout the rest of the state. Just snowfall, going to be a lot of light snow. Of course, the winds are still going to be breezy. Northeast winds around 25, gusting as high as 40. It is going to be the bigger chunk of the system. Basically, between 5 and 10 inches is expected just overnight tonight. And of course, with those winds, driving will be very, very hazardous. As we head into Richland Center, they might be a little bit less just because they're going to get some of that mixed precip, but still nonetheless expecting several inches just kind of throughout the next few days. And of course, still the same hazards nonetheless, just because, you know, it's a big system with a lot of precip. So then as we head into Thursday, snow showers will continue. We'll still have those north winds at least throughout most of the day, 15 to 25, gusting as high as 40. To top it all off, thankfully it'll be much less compared to the night before, but still going to be a lot. So we're still going to be expecting probably 2 to 3 inches possible throughout the state on top of the 5 to 10 that we'll be expecting overnight. So still the projections are saying about 8 to 11 throughout the southern portion of the state, just mainly due to that mixed precip portion, and then about that 14 to 21 or whatever they were saying. 14 to 21 throughout the central and western portions of the state. So like I said, they took a couple inches off, but I mean, doesn't matter.
If you don't have to drive over the next 24 to 40 hours, probably better to just stay home, correct? Is that a way to simplify it?
Yeah, exactly. Have a nice day in, grab some hot cocoa, have some soup. It will be very chilly Thursday night. It will clear up very fast, though. We'll drop down just below zero and into maybe the negative teens. But then from there, we're on the up and up. We'll see a lot of sunshine for the weekend. So we can look forward to that, just knowing that, after the system, we're not expecting anything else, at least for right now. Definitely do take it slower out there, especially as we head into tonight and into tomorrow morning. That is going to be the most hazardous points, especially with those winds. So do take it slow.
All right, Kara Foster, our weatherology meteorologist, thank you very much. You'll stay on top of it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you so much.
You got it. Stay safe.
We shall. That is Kara Foster from Weatherology. Again, if you don't have to drive, just stay home or fly, whichever you. But this is like a real time travels with Trigvi. That could be a segment moving forward. Real time travels with Trigvi. He has left the state of Wisconsin. He has safely arrived at O'Hare. Trigvi, let's go to our on the ground meteorologist. What are the conditions at O'Hare today?
The conditions at O'Hare are a lot of rain that seems to be freezing.
Oh, really?
Hopefully, planes. I'm now at the point where as long as my plane gets me to where I'm going, I don't care about anybody else's plane.
That's fantastic. Let me on my plane.
I am a guy who is now about self-interest, not common good.
Isn't that funny? But isn't that funny when things like this happen, particularly in airports? That's what happens, right? Our mentality changes. Like, get out of the way. I want to get there.
I have this rule and I'm violating it in a big way, Todd. I have a rule that nothing good comes from flying through O'Hare. Because one time on my way back on Christmas Eve, true story, I was flying back from somewhere. I think when I was living in Europe, I was flying back to see my parents and family for Christmas. And landed in O'Hare, and there were no gates and a snowstorm. And I sat on Christmas Eve for 7 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Before I got into O'Hare.
Oh, my gosh, Jamie. That's, no fun at all.
That's the least. The bigger issue is that this storm really wrecked us doing this live.
I know, right?
At your wonderful.
Well, you saw the.
I thought about that.
You saw, I am too, but you saw the bare bones of the new studio downtown in State Street. So hopefully the next time you're back in Madison, we'll have fresh, brand new, sparkling studios on State Street. We can commiserate there.
It's true. And it's impressive. It's impressive what you guys are doing. I think the other thing that I was thinking is the meteorologist is talking is I need to call and check in on my mom and husband. I didn't realize. They're going to get 22 inches.
Yes.
No,
that's
nuts.
No, you got to.
She needs to stay inside.
I would definitely check on her. Absolutely. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, is our guest this hour, talking a little bit about the Supreme Court race. Any other things you want to talk about, Trigvi, before we move on to the Biden expedition to Ukraine on the Supreme Court race?
I think the key thing is going to be people getting out and mobilizing and voting.
Right.
At the end of the day. Big stakes for democracy. And it, and it is a race from a Lincoln Project perspective. It's a race that we probably won't engage directly, but certainly the union is going, which is volunteers that are affiliated with the Lincoln Project and organizations, including many across the state, like Souls from Fold and others that are doing great work. They're going to really be engaging, and I think you'll see people. You'll see people from around the country recognizing that this race is really the first big one of the 24 cycle in Wisconsin, which the other thing that was clear from my being here the last couple of days is, Wisconsin is ground zero in
in that fight, whether democracy will survive. I think Wisconsin, even more than Michigan or Pennsylvania in 2024, will be the state that may determine the fate of where the country goes.
So it truly is a number one at the top of the list. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I don't just say that because I'm a Wisconsin guy at my core, right?
Like, right.
But, yeah. And honestly, like, if there were people who were supposed to pass judgment on whether democracy continues in the United States, I'm glad that it is people in this country. I believe they'll do the right thing.
I do too. I do too. It's going to be a tough battle to get there. I can't even imagine how many ads and negative ads and that sort of thing we're going to be inundated with. Of course, Republicans chose Milwaukee as the site of their 2024 convention, and putting Marjorie Taylor Greene in the middle of the most divided community in America. I'm not sure that's the best recipe for success. But it will bring Wisconsin a lot of attention.
You know, I think and having been involved in these kinds of decisions, typically you pick a place where you think the state is going to be swinging, and then you use that as an opportunity to really present your message and increase enthusiasm in the state and help make it that you carry the state. I am not so sure, given the state of the Republican Party, that having Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and these kinds of people coming and the kind of crazy that you're going to see ultimately is going to be a net plus for Republicans nationally. But I think that may be the case in Wisconsin, too, that there's a lot of people like my beer-drinking buddies who are conservatives, but who have had enough of the crazy wing of the Republican Party, and well, they'll vote for their Republican state legislature, who's focused on economic development and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They're not going to vote for Republicans that they feel like are election deniers and part of the Marjorie Taylor Greene wing. And so, I'm not sure it's as smart as they think.
As long as we started going down the crazy path here, let's continue it just for a moment. We haven't talked about this story on our show yet this week, but just to let the audience know, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, Republican of Georgia, on Monday calling for the United States to have what she called, quote, a national divorce, unquote, to separate red and blue states to shrink the federal government. Essentially, I mean, tantamount to civil war. And this has gotten some pretty hot reaction, not least of which is from former U.S. Representative and Republican Liz Cheney, who really called her out on this and said, our country is governed by the Constitution. You swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Secession is unconstitutional. No member of Congress should advocate secession, Marjorie, unquote. What do you make of this, Trigvy?
Right. Well, I think it's good that Liz called it out. I mean, it's just stupid on her part. It's not serious. I'm Marjorie Taylor Greene's part, not on
right.
Honestly, again, like, if she's going to stand on a stage in Milwaukee at the Republican convention and say that that's what she and the Republican Party advocate for, most people in Wisconsin, including a lot of conservatives, people who are conservative, are going to say, I don't want any part of that. This is dumb. It's not serious. And it isn't. I mean, she's just provoking, and provoking in a really foolish way. Now, I will say, I haven't been a big fan of people taking the debate and saying, oh, you know, it's going to be civil war, and that's what she's advocating for. She's just advocating stupid, and she's advocating stupid to get a reaction. And I think calling her out on her oath and the way Liz did is great. I think, engaging her beyond that probably just is what she's looking for.
I agree, but I think
the idea a national divorce is a 1090 proposition again.
Right.
Most people don't want that.
And
most of the states that the people that advocate that, Carrie Lake was advocating that. You know, the Lincoln Project ran an ad that showed what the consequences of that would be, since 43% of Arizona state budget comes from the federal government. Like, they're a net receiver state. Try and guard the border. You care about the border? Try and guard the border without the federal government. Good luck.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to come back. I want to get your reaction to this, though. Rick Wilson was filling in for you last week, did a great job. He started talking about the violence that he's encountered personally, that he's seen other people encounter. Yeah. And what my fear is, I think you're right. I mean, yes, we're not going to have an actual civil war, but people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, there are a handful of people out there. They're going to try to take the law into their own hands. And as Doug Llewellyn used to say, don't take the law into your own hands. You take it to court. We'll come back and get Trigby's reaction to that. After this, you're on the Todd Allbull Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Show is now 8:50, time the temperature sign with Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project here on a Wednesday morning. Before we went to break, Trigby, I threw this out. And again, I don't think that Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to incite an actual civil war in this country with her comments saying that we should have a national divorce basically between red states and blue states. But Rick Wilson, essentially your boss at Lincoln Project, threw this out last week on this show of the actual incidents of violence being created right now from the MAGA Republicans. And that's what my fear is, because, you know, I simply don't believe that, you know, Kevin McCarthy isn't the face or isn't the true leadership or what the base wants of the Republican Party. It's not Robin Foss. It's not Devin Lemahieu. It's certainly not Mitch McConnell. I truly believe that the true base of the Republican Party, the diehards of the party, they want Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she throws stuff like this out there, and people have an open carry in Wisconsin and could do crazy stuff.
Well, you know, I agree with you. The threat, and I mean, Rick gets a lot of threats. All of us do at Lincoln Project, and people in the public eye, right?
Like, right.
You know, the threat is really somebody who is deranged, who takes Marjorie Taylor Greene seriously, and is like, oh my God, this is an enemy. I have to go out and do something about it. What it really is about, what we're getting at is, you know, there is a segment. And it's far smaller on the left. It's bigger on the right. But there is a segment of our politics that has become radicalized, and they view the other side as enemies, not as political opponents. And politics has become just they're obsessive about it, and that can be dangerous. That said, you know, I think about, and I don't think I've ever shared it on the show, but like back when the whole debate about collective bargaining was going on.
Yep.
My dad, they were having a big rally in downtown Hudson, and I happened to be home, and my dad's getting ready to go with my mom to this rally, and he's strapping on his 9mm, and I'm like,
wow.
Dad, what are you doing? Like, and he's like, well, you know, he's like, we have open carry, I have a right to have my gun, and there's going to be protesters from the left there, and I was like, yeah, it's going to be people like mom's old colleague.
Right.
You know, I'm like, what, are you going to shoot him? Like, and the neighbor down the street, like, what are you thinking? Like, just take that off. Which, you know, he kind of came to his senses, and he's like, yeah, maybe that's not a smart idea. But it was just like, I mean, even then it was going on, and that's what happens when people get so hyped up, you know, they think that there's some threat. They're not really thinking about who are the people on the other side. And that's a problem. I will say, here's the thing, though, Todd. You know, having been all around the world and having had people like Alexander Lukashenko declare me an enemy of the Belarusian state, you know, you can't live with that stuff consuming what you do, because they're trying to influence your actions. And 99.9% of people are good if they think.
Right.
You know, we just need to get people to spend a little bit of time thinking, and most people won't get wrapped up about it.
Could not agree.
Yeah, it's dangerous what she's doing. And the other thing is, she's taking Russia's side. To your, you mentioned this earlier, and I do want to touch on it. You know, Joe Biden going to Kiev was absolutely one of the most, you know, bold moves by a president, quite frankly, since Ronald Reagan was going and telling Gorbachev to tear down this wall, or John Kennedy. I mean, we haven't had presidents doing that. Maybe since George, President Bush, and I think it's even bigger, threw out the first pitch at the Yankee game.
Right.
And so all these Republicans who are bagging on Joe Biden about that, quite frankly, talk about barking up a wrong tree and really demonstrating themselves to be clueless, because, that was a brave move.
I thought it was fantastic. Just, I mean, spending 10 hours, and how appropriate, right? Joe Biden on a train, but 10 hours on a train from Poland into Kyiv, and I can't imagine what that was like. It looked like a pretty small detail, but give folks, they have a couple of minutes, give folks, you've done this with McCain and McConnell and others. You spent time overseas in other countries. What has to go into a plan like this to protect the President of the United States in an area, as you pointed out, that was not controlled for the first time in modern history by U.S. forces?
Yeah. Any trip where the president is moving has massive amounts of pieces. Mm. You have the Secret Service, you have the military, you have the White House involved. It sounds like, based on what I read, like they kept this pretty small because they had to. And it was just a bold move. That said, I will also tell you, having been with McCain and other Democrats too, in places that, like Ukraine, the threat wasn't Ukrainians. In fact, Ukrainians were going to be so happy that he was there. It was like, do the Russians do something stupid? Which it sounds like they notified the Russians ahead of time. I didn't think that what I read from that I think people should take as at least somewhat positive in a time when we're getting mostly negative news about relations, is that communications was still going on.
Right,
that people in the high-level people in the U.S. government could call the Russians and say, Biden is going to be in Kyiv, and don't do anything stupid.
Right.
And that there were people that were taking the phone call and listening. Because when really bad stuff happens is when communication stops. Mm-hmm. And Biden doing that, that is one of the most consequential actions by a president of the United States in the last 50, 60 years. I mean, hugely.
Yeah.
And it was the best of what America is, representatively.
Mm-hmm. No, I couldn't agree more. I think it was a great diplomacy. I think it's a great move back home. We'll see how that translates into support when 2024 comes around. But it doesn't seem like a guy who's getting ready to hang it up to me.
No, he does not. I do know that the Biden people understand that it's likely whatever Republican is running, because Biden has been so strong on Ukraine, and this is so cynical, that the Republican candidate, regardless of whether it's Trump or someone else, is likely going to be, we need to get out of Ukraine, we need to end Ukraine. That's what Putin's betting on. And it's sad to me as a Republican who came of age with Ronald Reagan, and it's ironic that these politicians will talk about how important Reagan was to them. If Ronald Reagan were alive, even if you were running against Joe Biden, he'd be like, Joe Biden was right with what he's done on Ukraine, and I would continue this. But we've gotten to such a cynical place in our politics that they think whatever Joe Biden is doing, we have to be on the other side. And even if it's wrong, and they know it's wrong.
Very good, Trevi. Really appreciate you making time for us. I know you're on the road trying to get out of town on O'Hare. Thank you very much, as always. We'll see you next week, my friend. Safe travels until then.
And we will do this live soon.
Look forward to it. All right, Trevi Olson on his way to be with Aaron Rodgers in his house of darkness. No, not really. More after the second hour. Stay with us here on the Town Hall Bowl Show. This is Civic Media.